Hello, lovely listeners. It's a new year and a new Dual Pixels. Coming up on this episode, we talk Cyberpunk 2077 release drama. Plus, there's trailers galore with Pokemon Snap, King of Fighters 15, and Resident Evil Village. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up? I'm Joey.
And I'm Rob, and as always, we will go into what we have been playing, and that will start with Jose.
Of course, as always. As always here. Yes, and we're finally back for 2021. And yeah, I'm going to start off with what I've been playing. I've actually been playing like a lot of random stuff, but I'm going to go into like some of the major ones. One thing I do want to say and in regards to 2021, we actually redesigned the website. So if you go on the website now, you will see a complete new redesign of the website, and it's definitely much smoother than our old website. So you did notice it did go down it was probably for about a week. We were actually working on the website itself, but now it's back up, and you know, we're ready here for 2021. Okay, now what I've been playing. So what I've been playing this currently and a lot of is actually Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, Hyrule Warriors 2. I was not expecting to like it as much as I am now. I actually played over 8 hours of the game.
My sweet summer child.
I know you played a lot more. I know you've been playing it too, Rob. So, but I played over 8 hours of it. I definitely like it in comparison to the first one and also the other Warrior games, the Mutsu games. In this particular Hyrule Warriors, what I love about it is that there's actually a focus to it, and there's actually a narrative. You know, there's a story, there's just something going on there, and it's in big focus compared to the first one. And I love playing the first one. The first one was actually like a joy to play, but I got bored of it over time. And it was more due to the pacing, I guess. I guess that created issues for me. You know, you can only kill so many soldiers without it being so interesting. And Hyrule Warriors 2 definitely changes things up a bit with like the new skills that you have and how like the weapons from like are used, like the gadgets, like the bombs are completely used differently for each character. And each character has that bomb ability. They have the ability to make ice pillars, just like you did in Breath of the Wild, but every character actually wields those powers. And each of them have different attacks. So that creates a nice gameplay, like flow, in terms of mechanics, because you could just combine all these different elements to it, as well as weapons. Because one thing I find, pretty awesome is that it's kind of a reverse of the Breath of the Wild but more of just implementing more things about it in a more streamlined way, like the weapons. You still could choose your main weapons for Link, and you're able to use plenty of different weapons for Link. But the stuff like the staff that like throws like lightning or fire, those are actually usable by other characters, and they can pretty much be used on a timer or on a energy bar, which you could just use them randomly with any character, which is pretty cool. So touches like that actually make the game just a bit special for me, and also how the layout of the map is, as well, and the menus, because I found it very, very easy to navigate. And I know Hyrule Warriors, you could say Hyrule Warriors 1 was, you know, in the same way they had the menus, but again, this complete focus into this is a single player experience, and you could play co-op, but it feels like it's more geared towards it being a single player experience. So I was definitely impressed on you know, how it got me to play the game and trying new characters and trying all the skills. So that was very impressive. Now, now I haven't played it docked. That's one of the things I didn't do. I haven't played it docked, but I just played completely handheld that whole time, and I'm still playing it. I'm still going through it. So definitely impressed with that one. Now, another game I've been playing, and this is something I've been meaning to get for a little while now, and it's a fighter, Granblue Fantasy. Now, the only reason I haven't got it is because this game does not decrease in price. But luckily, I was able to find it thanks to Rob, which actually provided me a link to find it and finally get it.
It was like $20, I think.
Yeah. So it's going on sale.
I was tempted to get it, but I'm like, I'm just going to hold off on PC.
Yeah. That was my first, you know, my first thought, like hold out for a PC and, you know, see from there. But again, I'm a big fighting game fan, so this was the last fighting game I needed to get, I guess, to complete this generation of fighting games. But yeah, I was finally able to get it at a decent price. And I love this game. I think this is one of the best, most simplified fighters that has been made this generation. And a lot of people call like Street Fighter easy. Like they like dumbed it down so it could be like easier and with button input, but it's really not when looking at Street Fighter V, because Street Fighter V is just a bit more complex in how you do moves. Granblue Fantasy like completely wipes all that complexity away in terms of button inputs. But it is still complex. It is still like playing chess. It's just easier to do moves and easier to do special moves. So I love it. I think the voice acting is spot on for an anime title, an anime fighter. And the visuals are like amazing. They are amazing. It has like a watercolor sort of art style to it. Again, very simple to play. I find it very enjoyable. And it gets as complex as you want it to be, because you could do regular inputs, you know, with quarter circles, you could do those inputs, but the way the game is set up, because there is a single player story mode in Granblue Fantasy. There is a single player story mode, and it's kind of like a side scroller. So the way you do your special moves is by pressing R1 with one of the face buttons. And you can actually do that while playing the, you know, the fighting game. And, you know, each character has about four different moves, four different special moves that you could use. And it's definitely one of the most easiest games for button inputs. But it's pretty solid in terms of it being complex. So I was very, very, pretty much impressed, because I thought it was going to be like a typical, you know, anime fighter. Because for me, like stuff like Guilty Gear and stuff like Dragon Ball FighterZ, they do get boring in their mechanics to me. I know other people might be different, but to me, they do get boring. But Granblue Fantasy, it has like a special like spark to it. So very, very impressed with the single player mode as well, because the single player mode, you can get like different skins for their weapons. You get like level up the swords. So it's a pretty cool package. I wish it was cheaper when it released, or I wish, you know, it was just cheaper for more people to actually play it. Because it's a pretty impressive package all around. So that's what I've been playing, just a lot of, in these past couple of weeks. And it's been helping me out, with this, you know, just with everything going on in the world here. Joey, what have you been playing? I know you've been playing some stuff.
Yeah, kind of like you, I've been playing quite a few things, but just kind of going to focus on two. Both pretty small games, but first one, Deliver Us the Moon. I had no idea what to expect. I've heard of it, but never looked anything up. I was browsing Game Pass, and I downloaded it. That's kind of how a lot of those games go. But I was like in the mood for a space game that wasn't No Man's Sky. And this kind of fit the bill. I mean, it has moon in the title, you know, can't go wrong. So essentially, if you're not familiar, it's a single player game, and it's about like, there's been like some cataclysm like on the Earth, right? Like global warming, ran out of resources, it went dark. And then there was people on the space station and on the moon. They had like a moon base to try to figure out an energy source to make sure that, you know, the Earth doesn't die out, essentially. So it just so happens you're the very last astronaut. So you go up alone.
As always.
But like the first couple scenes are like super intense because like they put you in a, you know, a spaceship, space shuttle. And like you're looking up out the window before launch. And then there, if you look to the left, there's like a kind of like a steps of things to do. And then there's a huge dashboard in front of you and you have to do them in a certain amount of time. So like it's kind of stressful, but kind of cool in a way. And the reason you have to do it quickly is because there's another sandstorm coming, which apparently happens if there's global warming. And we might be able to figure that out pretty soon in real life. But anyway, yeah, it's very puzzle oriented and it's so atmospheric, just the way the sounds and like the light works in space.
Wait, is this a...
It's super cool.
Is this a 3D game or 2D?
3D, yeah. Oh, full 3D. 3D.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're usually... almost usually in third person, but sometimes you are in first person, doing puzzles and such, but a lot of it is in third person. But yeah, it's just a solid game, especially if you want something slower paced. I feel like it's going to take this like sci-fi turn, but it hasn't yet. Like not entirely. Like there hasn't been aliens or monsters or anything. Something happened. Like there was something happened and I'm still like trying to uncover what happened. So yeah, it's a solid game, especially if you're looking for something slower and like you're in the mood for space stuff like I was. It's just flat out fun, and I think a lot of the fun is I didn't know anything about it. Never watched a trailer, never heard anybody talk about it. Recognize the name, but that was it. Because I feel like now, like you see way too much of games. They're like, oh, check out all these armors you'll get like 50 hours in. It's like that stuff used to be fun to like. Happen upon, and like now you don't get that. So yeah, I think I like it so much just because it's entirely fresh.
Like movies, like, you know, when you see all those trailers, yeah. And they're all pretty much the movie, like straight up the movie.
The whole movie is pretty much that. Yeah.
In like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, you just fill in a couple things in between and you saw the whole movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing about Game Pass. That yeah. you could just go ahead and check out a game. That's definitely one of the best assets that you could go ahead and.
Yeah.
I was actually having trouble finding a game that other day. I was actually having trouble finding a game, but I was able to find some there on Game Pass and also on PS Now to play. Yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely the best way to go in like fresh. And I do agree with mm-hmm. you. That's
yeah,
that's the best.
Went in fresh to this next game as well. Lo-Fi Ping Pong, that's the name of the game. It's a ping pong rhythm game, and it's like lo-fi beats. So it's like calming and stressful at the same time because it's hard. But this was one of those ones, it's like, I have $15 in my Steam account, what can I get for less than $15, you know? I mean, this was way less than, I think it was like five or six bucks or something, I don't know. But yeah, like, just the lo-fi aesthetic is just so good. And that's what drew me to it. And I'm not a huge rhythm game person per se, but it's addicting. I'm bad at it, but it's just addicting and it's like simplicity. Like you're literally just playing ping pong, time to like, you know, the lo-fi beats. And essentially like you either go left, center, or right. And like that's it. I was like, oh, this is going to be so easy. And then the second level, it has two balls coming just after one another on the beat, you know? So it got a lot more complicated very quickly. But yeah, it's just one of those like perfect, you know, I don't have enough money, a lot of money on Steam, and I already bought pretty much what I've wanted. So what are some of those other kind of smaller games that I could find? And I don't remember where I found this one. Probably through maybe a Reset Era posting or on Reddit, one or the other. But yeah, it's solid. Anytime those games keep my attention for like even 5-6 hours, like I'm set. But yeah, two very different things. Just after, what did I just beat? After playing Immortals, I just haven't really been in the mood for anything like big.
And I'm actually still playing through that. So that's
still on good pause, luck. Yeah. I think I logged 49, 48 hours. But that game was good. But that's besides the point because I haven't played that in like 2 weeks. All right, Rob, take it away.
Yes. So I'll go backwards from stuff I've been playing as in most recent. Because like my big thing is leading into the next topic. So yep. We will get to that when mm-hmm. we get to that. But yes. So I just started Resident Evil 3 last yes. night, remake. I mostly started it because it's a 6-hour game and I need something that's just like in and out and
yes,
done.
It's so good for that. Yes, that's how I took it when I got it at launch.
So yeah, so I played it on PC and you know, it's fine so far. It's just an hour in. I don't really have any major opinions on it. Like it's good. I got nothing else.
It's Capcom. It should be good. And it well for me, Resident Evil 3 is my favorite.
So because it's Capcom.
So I'm a little biased.
But well, because like I was pretty lukewarm on the original, so but I mean this is fine so far. It's a good update that I've seen. But yeah, like I said, just have an hour into it, like maybe an hour and a half, but I still have more time with it. Hopefully, I kind of would like to finish it like by the weekend, just before then. But we'll see what happens. I too have been playing Hyrule Warriors 2 Age of Calamity. I didn't beat it, but I'm done with it for the moment. I like it because it's a lot more focused than Hyrule Warriors 1 is. Hyrule Warriors 1 is definitely a celebration of all things Zelda, so you have like lots of like different like characters and different like everything, while Age of Calamity is very, very focused, very streamlined into, you know, this is the story we're going to tell, these are the characters we have, we don't have too many, we can't really deviate too much. Yeah. And it's good, and I love how it's focused. I fucking cannot stand Zelda, though. Oh my god. Her playstyle, her personality, just, I cannot stand her. But I will stand for Urbosa. 100% standing for Urbosa.
Wait, but Zelda's moves are dope, though. Zelda, I
can't use her. Like, I just,
her moves are dope. Like there's I a will, lot of things she has.
She, some cool, I guess, but it's just, I can't, I'm not proficient with her at all. While, like, you know, I mean, obviously every other sword user is just a lot easier. And I once, spoiler, you get the Master Sword. Once you get the Master Sword for Link, it's like, I never switched to any other weapon. I didn't really feel like I need to. There's like a really cool twist that I didn't see coming, and I kind of audibly gasped, which was really cool. But yeah, the reason I'm done with Hyrule Warriors is basically because I think I was at the last boss, like it was leading up to it, and then the game crashed, and this was like after spending like maybe about an hour on that last map, and so I'm like, I'm done. I'll probably come back to it and finish it. I'll circle around, but. That just killed the wind in my sails. Just like so close to the end, having no real issue, and then it just like someone said a bit of dialogue, and then the game just like crashed on me. I kind of sat there and like in stunned silence for like 30 seconds afterwards. I was just like, well, and then just like turned it off.
Time to move on. new game.
Yeah. If it was like you know, earlier in the game, or if it was like earlier in the map, then it'd be like, okay, fine, whatever, and I'll just jump back in. But it's just like right at the end, right after like going through, and there's no like real checkpoints. Like, I don't think I'll be able to like go back in and resume from where I was. I don't think. I haven't tried yet. Maybe I should try it, but whatever. But yeah, no. Hyrule Warriors is fun. Okay. And the big one. I have played Cyberpunk 2077. I put in probably between 95 and 97 hours into it.
That's a lot.
I did practically everything I could in the game. There was like a few like assaults I didn't do. Like you go there and there's like two people shooting it out or whatever. I didn't do all of those. I was half tempted to get all the achievements, but then there were some real bullshit ones, like shoot a grenade in the air with a revolver. And I'm not gonna fuck with that shit. So
it's more like the game is already it's more like the game is already buggy. This is just gonna bug it out more.
Well, I mean, it's fine and it's kind of cool. Like it's something like a little achievement, but it's just like I'm playing with a controller. There was a mission where you had to like shoot the targets, and I was playing with a controller and I fucking sucked at it. You had to hit like at least 44. I hit 10.
Yeah, I can't even aim with a controller anymore since I've been playing on PC for so long. It's like really bad.
I think certain games are easier than others, but for some reason this game was like way harder.
Yeah, it's definitely like the aim assist because like the certain shooters where they are harder, you know, harder to aim and putting up all the sensitivity for it. But some of them have better, like, aim assist. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah. Yes, so I had, like, 95, 97 hours. I had probably easily double digits in terms of number of crashes. Like, it was a frequent thing.
Wow.
It didn't bother me as much because it's like, generally speaking, it wouldn't put me too much further back from where I was because it saves and checkpoints often. And I was saving, going out of my way to save regularly too. So it wasn't like a big deal, but it was consistent.
You were playing on the Xbox One X,
right? It was absolutely consistent. Yes, Xbox One X. So it wasn't the base system.
And it wasn't the PS4 and the PS5 because those...
No, I did get a PS5, and I was half tempted to buy Cyberpunk on PS5 so I could actually use the PS5, but I didn't, so I was like, I'll just play it on Xbox One. I finished the game, went with what I consider my canonical ending. Because there's like five or so endings, I think.
That's not too
depending
bad.
On like what you do. I mean, and you can like reload the save and like see them all if you really want. It's not a big deal. Like once you hit like all the objectives, like you're not locked out of any one ending. And the objectives are really just like do, you know, the missions or whatever. All the missions are certain storyline missions. For the most part, the main story was fine. It wasn't like really like super disappointing. It wasn't like I'm riveted. It was just like, okay, it's fine. It definitely feels like stuff was cut. Stuff kind of just gets dropped. And it doesn't go anywhere, or something is mentioned and then just never brought up again. And I'm sure part of that is like some of it they're going to use for DLC, and part of it is like they had to cut it because they didn't have the time for it. Like my biggest, I mean, and it really in the grand scheme of things is not a huge thing, as far as like annoyance with the game, but for a game about like transhumanity being able to like change the way you look and stuff, the character creator was bullshit. And A, it was bullshit, and B, once you set your character in the beginning, that's what they're like for the rest of the game. You can't change anything. No.
Anywhere.
You're done. You cannot change, and you can change your clothes, and that is it. For a game specifically, that I think in one of the trailers showed one person taking off like their face, like in putting on another one or something.
Yeah.
You cannot change anything about your character.
What?
It's set once you make it. And it kind of bothers me because I gave my character like long nails, and like after the first cutscene, I'm like, "Oh, I hate it." And you can't really see it, like, you know.
Yeah.
The tattoo selection sucks. You can't. It's like all preset. Like there's five or six preset like tattoos for your whole body, so you can't change it. You can't customize it. And I think the one thing that they added into the character customization that really adds nothing to it, but makes it seem like, oh, you can customize your character so much because you can change your genitals and change your pubic hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's a cool thing. No, that's it. Like, they just added that shit in just to make it seem like there's more variety, and there's fucking not. But yeah, the fact that you can't change your characters, like, anything after you've set it.
I did not know
it's done. Like, if you get, like, cool clothes that you want to kind of match your character to, you can't. Which is another thing, is, like, at the end of the game, I looked like a fucking goober. Because I was literally, like, picking whatever I had, like, inventory slots, whatever, like, you know, was the higher damage, whatever had better perks. So I had, like, a rice picker hat on, like, aviators, a bustier top, like high heeled shoes with like camo cargo pants, just a mishmash, like gooberified, just whatever. It was nonsense. And you can't go to shop and get stuff that, you know, like an outfit, because everything is just going to be completely different in terms of like stats. So it's like, whatever. So what I ended up doing was eventually I found a Netrunner suit, which kind of overrides what you're wearing. So you put that in like your special slot, and like you wear that as your like your costume, and it kind of overrides everything else. So you look somewhat normal. But the problem is when you put that on, it locks all your other options. So if you get something better, you have to unequip that and then, you know, change what you need to and then equip it again.
That's so stupid.
It's just so many bizarre design decisions. Like,
yeah, that makes no sense.
And like, I understand, like, oh, it's supposed to be like a first person, so you can't really see your character, but
still,
you still see your character sometimes.
Yeah.
I ended up just, once I got the motorcycle, like the first motorcycle I got was like the Akira one, the one that looked kind of like the Akira bike. As soon as I got it, that was the only thing I used. Because it's fast enough. I can weave in and out of traffic without like hitting stuff. Like, it's, once I had that, like, I bought a few other vehicles, but like nothing else was useful.
Dang.
But yeah, I've put in 95 hours. Would I recommend it? Not at full price.
Well, it's $30
or less. Time, so. Yeah, it's been on sale. Like, it was $30 like not too long ago.
Last week, I think. Yeah.
So it's like $30 is fine. It's for what it was like. And the thing is, I didn't follow too much of the hype, so I know some people. I say that, now you have a fucking cyberpunk themed Xbox One.
Yeah, that might be my fault. Like, I brought that one up.
Yeah, because like I didn't watch all the like the Night City episodes. I didn't, you know, completely follow it. Like, watch every snippet of everything. Like, I knew like the tone.
Yeah, you saw the major like trailers that were shown. You
Yeah.
I saw the major stuff. But like, I knew like that's the not the theme, but like that's the environment I want to be. Like it scratched that itch for me 100%. Like I wanted a cyberpunk esque game. Mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it scratched that itch. And if you like that, then I think you might enjoy it and get something out of it. Like I said, I played 95 hours, so I can't say I hated it. I can't say I loved it either. Honestly, by the end, it felt like more like, I don't want to say a job, but just like something I had to do. It was so many issues with it, like so many like.
Well, I did call that. Bugs. I did call that it was going to be so, you know, so buggy in general. And the.
Well, yeah. I mean, with any open world game, like it's going to be buggy.
This one in like, particular. Because they didn't show the base consoles. They didn't show the Xbox One, you know, the regular Xbox One or the PS4. And those two versions ended up, you know, being the worst in terms of the bug. I called that, but what I also wanted them to do was actually just not release it on those base consoles, because they actually would have been good if they just didn't release it at all on the consoles and just at the PC.
Honestly, what they should have done is they should have focused on PC. And then like a few months later release it on current last gen, whatever you want to say. PS3, and then PS3. PS4, Xbox One, and then PS5, and then Series X, whatever. It would have helped them polish it. It would have helped them focus. Yes,
exactly.
Because them doing it for three-ish platforms, and then technically another two is what killed them, considering with Witcher 2 and 3, like, they did the PC version first, and then they released it on console. And I think, honestly, that probably would have been the best. They would have gotten people who were interested in the PC version, so good word of mouth, and went on. Even if it was, like, 2 or 3 months. And then now it's just a huge clusterfuck, which we may as well go into the topic at hand. The first one. So first off, little timeline. CD Projekt Red said that they will be offering refunds for people who bought the game and isn't liking it, but they didn't, you know, kind of let the platform holders know. So Sony delisted the game, which I think it's still delisted.
Yes,
I haven't checked.
It is still delisted. Yes, it's okay. Not up there.
So you can't buy it digitally, but you can buy it physically. And no, it's not going to be worth anything, because I'm pretty sure at some point it's going to be relisted and it's not going to be worth shit. So don't try like hoarding copies of Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, burn it.
It's not going to be worth
burn
anything.
Burn them all down like E.T.
It still sold like millions of copies.
Oh yeah, it was
so
ridiculous.
It's not going to be worth anything. After that, there were several shareholders were filing class action lawsuits for basically mismanaging the entire project, which is 100% true.
Couldn't be more true.
Yeah, we reported on it on every episode that we did.
Pretty much.
CD Projekt Red said there would be no crunch, and very much was crunch.
Mm-hmm.
It was oops, all crunch. And then, so they tried to get some patches out before the end of the year, because it was the holidays. They got a few patches out. And then they released their roadmap, which is fucking useless as a roadmap. It is, so they have a roadmap for 2021. And let me paint the picture for you out there in radio land. They have two notches for patch 1.1 and 1.2. And then a whole fuzzy area that says multiple updates and improvements. And then 2022. there's no timeline. It's just that it's allegedly coming out this year. It doesn't break down what it is, just that free DLCs are coming at some point, and the next gen update is coming at some point this year.
So December.
Everyone was expecting it to be in like January or like March or something this year. No.
I mean, they're supposed to have a next gen update for Witcher 3 as well, and who knows when that's coming out now.
Oh yeah, we'll never see that.
Yeah. I feel like they'd do Witcher 3 because it'd be easier, because it's running.
I'd rather they just go into that first one.
Yeah. It's just, the whole thing is a huge, huge fucking clusterfuck.
Yeah. This roadmap's like as useful as like the Avengers roadmap.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like,
they're done in Avengers. And Avengers still looks pretty. It still looks pretty compared to this. It was running back, like, you know, it wasn't delisted.
No, it wasn't. Okay, that's a really low bar to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
that game ran poorly. Well, that, like, the first couple
game
weeks.
Ran bad, but it wasn't. It
broken,
was still
broken.
It's a different type of game, too.
Necessarily, it wasn't broken. No, it wasn't broken like Cyberpunk was broken. Mm-mm. It just wasn't optimized well.
Yeah, exactly. It was optimized like Skyrim, you know.
Yes. I think Skyrim was actually optimized a little better, but still, well, low
not
bars.
Not on PS3, it wasn't, but go on. Yeah,
yeah,
go
but...
On.
Yeah, so, but low bars.
But here's the thing. Here's the difference, though.
Jungle Gym for toddlers. Low bars.
Going into, like, Avengers, you actually see Square Enix. They actually made a lot more patches within the time frame than CD Projekt has, like, you know, they actually did some work. On things.
True, but I'm gonna hate to be devil's advocate here. But it was released right around Christmas, so there was that holiday break, which, you know, Avengers didn't have a holiday break so they had more time.
That's so on point. But the game shouldn't have released in the first place.
It should not have released. It should have.
What, Avengers or Cyberpunk?
Both, I guess, really, honestly.
Avengers could have released in December, and, you know, with those updates, it would have been perfectly fine. But Cyberpunk should not have been released in December. It should not have been released in the year. This is what I'm
getting
at. The
problem is, I don't know when it would have mattered, because it was just so mismanaged anyway. How long has this thing been worked on for?
At least pre-production since 2013, I think.
Here's a callback way back when. When I went to Comic-Con in 2000... Whenever Witcher 2 released, or 3, I talked to CD Projekt Red people and asked them about this. Do you remember what I was saying?
Yes.
You're like, ask them about Cyberpunk. That was way back when.
That was 2015, I mean, that 2016.
Was like, yeah. I mean, it's 2020 when this released, but like, I don't know how much time would help them. It just sounds like they need a new management system.
I think
for sure
they do.
I think what Rob said was perfectly on point. The PC version should have been the first one out, and it actually shouldn't have came out in December. It should have came out like in March for the PC version. Then from there, you know, on how the PC version is going and what they saw in bugs and issues, then from there they could evaluate if they want to release a console version or if they could wait for it.
Because, like, I think, I mean, there was always going to be cut content. Even if they had released, like, one SKU early, there was always going to be the cut content because of just, you know, it was mismanaged, period. Like, from the beginning. Like, they didn't really know what they were doing. Mm-mm. Or they had an idea, but they didn't have an end goal. But at the very least, if it had been delayed until, like, March, you know, a lot of these stupid bugs wouldn't be there. Where, you know, characters would just, like, T-pose out of nowhere. just, like, cars raining down from the sky exploding. You know, like, just all these, like, weird, you know, bugs. And they could have probably had, you know, focused on, like, the free DLC a little bit more. Instead of, like, I'm sure they're pulling everyone to do updates to patches and stuff.
Oh, I imagine.
So... Oh, a quick, I guess, side note about my experience. Even though I was not too hot on Cyberpunk, I still preferred Cyberpunk to Fallout 4. Fallout 4 was very repetitive. At least to me. I love the setting, but like Cyberpunk hit me a little bit more than Fallout. Anyway, let's just continue. I forgot to mention that. I feel that's somewhat sacrilegious, but whatever. I don't care.
I mean, it is what it is, you know?
But yeah, I mean, that's how it is. The roadmap sucks, and we'll see if anything actually happens. Let's see if any... if an actual next-gen console update releases at any point. I feel like it will release it.
I'm sure it will this eventually.
Year. I call 2022. First quarter 2022.
I feel like it'll probably be like November or December, I think.
That's what I was going to say, end of 2021. It'll be
It'll be like right there.
Well, yeah, that bar like, on that roadmap is close to 2022, so.
Why do you know if that's consistent that's of the not, time
don't period? Even look at that because like because the distance between the beginning of the gray area to free DLC is the same distance from the free DLCs to the next gen update and the next gen update to the end. It's all just like splitting. Equal distance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they have no idea what the fuck they're doing.
Well, that's why I'm interested they even did a roadmap because you could tell they have no idea when this stuff is going to happen.
Which I completely forgot about it. Like when they announced the roadmap, they threw their fucking QA under the goddamn bus and they backed them up. Not backed them up like supported them, like backed them up as in backed up the truck.
Yeah, ran over them once and then again. Yeah.
Yeah, and that happened with the social media
put
that manager
shit in reverse.
Too, on Twitter. So that's just a lot of like constant things with CD Projekt just in general where
Well, I mean, like, they said specifically in, like, the trailer, like, oh, we'd never noticed this because our QA people never saw it. It's like, you motherfucking liars. Yeah. You goddamn saw this shit. Unless you were just testing, like, the PC version on very, very high-end equipment, you had to have seen this shit.
Yeah.
You had to.
And I'm sure they did. They just didn't care.
No, they didn't care because they had to get it out because that was... If they had just said, you know, we're sorry, you know, we released the state that we weren't pleased with, but we are going to do our best to get it together, I think people would have been like, okay, fine. They wouldn't have trusted them, but have been like, okay, fine. But then they were like, yeah, we didn't see this. Our QA didn't, like, notice it. Like,
yeah,
the fuck you say?
Yeah, for real.
No, they had to have noticed it. This isn't like some, like, oh, weird bug. Like, it's very uncommon. No, I had double digits in terms of crashes. That is not just some, you know, oh, some bug. No. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
Yeah, throwing the people that are working crazy hours and getting paid the least under the bus.
Yes. Great. Just admit you fucked up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's Cyberpunk 2077, which means we'll get a fully patched version in 2077.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Although, I will say, I did like some of the characters in the game. Some kind of left me a little bit. I didn't cry, but it was kind of like, oh, they kind of got to me.
Mm.
Especially Judy. I love Judy. 100%. She's my favorite character.
Did they ever?
Her ending was pretty sweet. Mm. So,
did they ever talk about the whole like transphobia stuff that they got into? I know they didn't out of game, but I wondered if they would like kind of talk about that in game.
God no, they don't mention it. There is one trans character.
Mm-hmm.
She's okay. Like someone told me about like, oh, this is a twist with their character, and I was like, oh, she's trans. She has like a trans flag on her truck. But you know, she's fine. But yeah, they don't really mention too much more about that in game.
Yeah,
they lean heavily on fucking stereotypes, though.
Oh,
Oh god. Okay, so. Keep there's going. there's a sequence of quests where you have to like, you know, fight someone. Kind of like with Witcher 3, you know, go somewhere and fight someone, fist fights. Yep. And one guy was clearly a Latino who had a pregnant girlfriend and his girlfriend was complaining that he was never there for her and the baby and all he cared about was fighting. And I hated that motherfucker so much. Like, I hated that. It's like, of course, it has to be the Hispanic guy who's fucking, I don't want to say absent, because he's clearly there, but just making it seem like he's not caring about their kid.
Yeah.
It's just like, I fucking hate this shit so much. But yeah, like, and the thing is, like, they did some good, cool things with the fact that, the Voodoo Boys were Haitian, and I thought that was cool. Like, kind of leaning into the fact that they're like really high tech savvy and stuff like that. But that, I think that was more because it was based in the actual pen and paper RPG rather than something that they created for the game. And instead, anything created for the game is just like, yeah, we're gonna fucking lean into the stereotypes because we're fucking lazy at writing.
I always wonder what they rely on from the actual RPG to the game. You know what I mean?
I feel like there's a lot more. I feel like since I didn't really know anything, I did look up some stuff. Like, there's a character called Alt Cunningham, which is like a big deal, I think, in the lore of the universe. Because like everyone in game made it seem like she was like some big like important figure, and I was like, I don't fucking know. So I do feel like there's a lot of stuff that's kind of missed. You know, you won't miss too much, like, if you just play the game without reading anything extra. But I think if you know, you know, the
some key
the
characters, paper
RPG, yeah, you'll get more out of it. So, well, that's enough about
yeah. This isn't Cyberpunk. The Cyberpunk.
Yeah, everything that could go wrong with Cyberpunk did go wrong. So. Yeah, I guess
I feel like there could have been some other levels, but yeah, it's just bad management top down. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some delicious trailers.
Yes.
The first one being the new Pokemon Snap.
The only thing I got to say about it, I'm buying it. I love the N64 Pokemon Snap, which I'm still not sure why that's not on Virtual Console. It's not, right?
No.
I'm almost certain it's not.
It was on the Wii, yes. Wii U, I think. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's pretty dated and pretty simple. Like, I know I understand people have nostalgia for it, true. But it's just...
But it seems like an easy, like, advertising vector for the new game.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, like, they could have... easily had Pokemon Snap on, like, or a version of it, like, on the 3DS.
Yeah.
With the camera and stuff.
Yeah. That would actually be a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. But the fact that there's something now is actually pretty surprising.
Yeah. It kind of came out of nowhere, too. The new Pokemon Snap. Yeah.
They just kind of announced it with, like, a whole bunch of other stuff.
In typical Nintendo fashion.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's how I like it. You know, that's, you know, it made it more, like, fun that way. I'm seeing, like, an old franchise like that. No one cared about it. Well, people cared about it, but they weren't expecting it.
People have been wanting one for a while.
People have been expecting, I guess, wanting one for a while, but, you know, seeing it just thrown out, like, oh, here, Pokemon Snap, and then seeing everything, like, you know, like, it wasn't talked about, there wasn't any rumors about it, and just, like,
nothing.
There was, like, nothing. It was silence. And then we finally got the trailer. Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty, like, for me, like, it looks fun. Again, when Nintendo games is... for me, hit or miss, would I pay $60 for this? Like, that's my thing with Pokemon Snap. It might not have too much to do. And I know the first one didn't have
much either. So. Yeah. I didn't really actually like the first one because, like, I rented it and I beat it in, like, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I got to Mew in, like, 2 days. And so that kind of, like, left a...
Spoiler alert.
Left the what?
No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
I don't know. It didn't leave me too excited for anything. But now with, like, so many more Pokemon and so many... and much better technology than the 64. And the fact that I think it was right around the time when they just kind of had, like... not cheap spinoff, but just like, yeah, we'll just do something on the N64. Because I think the first Pokemon Stadium in Japan was, like, very limited. And the one that we got was the one that was was a sequel in Japan.
Oh.
So, like, I feel like now it would be better in terms of, like, they'll have better technology. There'll probably be a lot more to do. So I think it's, I mean, I will probably get it because I fucking more for Pokemon. But
I know.
But, like, I'm a little bit more excited about this than, like, I would have been originally.
Yeah.
If they had just said Pokemon Snap 2.
It's straight nostalgia for me. I love the first one, and I don't know. Like, I don't really know how good it's going to be, but, like, Nintendo stuff is usually pretty quality, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, the bar, I mean, it's kind of like Marvel movies, like, right? The bar is, like, really high already. So you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah, the quality.
I'm excited for it. I already have pre-ordered it.
Yeah,
so.
The quality is, yeah, it's going to be there. Yeah, I guess the other thing, like you mentioned, Rob, already is, like, there's going to be more Pokemon. So I guess that, you know, that would be the most exciting part.
Yeah.
To it. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's always, you know, for me, my, like, key deciding thing would be, how long can this game, you know, hold my attention? So I'm going to wait a little. I'm going to wait for your impression, Joey, myself, just to see, you know, if it's something I'm going to, like, end up liking just in general. I know I played the, you know, I played Pokemon Snap originally. But, you know, now there's just so many different things out here that, you know, just catch my attention. So you might, you know, I always say I'm not going to get it, but then I end up getting it because it's Nintendo. It just always happens. So, we will see.
That Nintendo seal of quality right there. You know?
I'm, you know, the one thing I'm excited for, would be the excitement for me. Different Pokemon you get to see.
I can't wait for the people to complain about their obscure Pokemon from whatever gen that isn't on the game.
Yeah, that's definitely happening.
You know
it's
going to happen.
Definitely going to happen.
We better see Clefki. No, I mean, and the thing, too, is, like, rewatching the trailer, like, it looks really nice. Like, visually, it looks really nice. And I think for, like, a digital photography game like that, like, you want to up the visuals. It's not perfect. There's, like, some issues with shadows, but I mean, it still looks really, really good.
Bit easier to pump the visuals up since it's, like, all on rails and such.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll look even spectacular on the Switch Pro. So that's coming out April 30th.
Yeah.
And the next one, King of Fighters 15, because we're in King of Fighters 15 mode. And so is SNK, as they're going to release a trailer every week, I think, for King of Fighters 15, like a new character reveal. And as of recording, they've only shown two character trailers.
They showed about, like, 8 to 12 characters in the first initial trailer.
Yes, they show, like, those characters, but, like, no gameplay. It was all, like, cinematic.
Well, cinematic camera angle. It's definitely gameplay.
Cinematic camera angle, and they did, it did seem like there was some portions that were going to be, like, in the story mode. They showed. The only one I can remember is Kyo and the Shunin.
And
so I don't remember anyone else. Oh, Leona.
Yeah, they showed Leona. They showed they showed Benny Maru. He was, like, in the background. They showed quite a few characters. Like, they showed enough where, you know, you notice, like, some favorites. They
basically, like, the staple characters.
Yeah,
just
and
about.
and the new characters.
Yeah, like the focus characters for 15. Yeah. The first character they showed was terrible.
Shun was the first character trailer that was shown.
Yeah, it was terrible. Like, it quick cuts of just, like, basic attacks. There's no, like, supers or anything special, or it's just very. My expectations were shattered, I have to say. But with the second one, they did kind of, like, make it a lot better.
Yeah, it was a much longer, like, gameplay video, and it showed off, See, I can't even pronounce his name correctly. I was just about to say it.
I was going to say, I stopped, Yes, Nintakun.
Yes, that's the word right there. Yeah, that doesn't sound right. No, that is how you pronounce his name. I actually had to say it over because I'm like, I just had it. Mintenkun.
Meitenkun. Meitenkun.
It is Mintenkun.
It helps too that because he was visually a lot more interesting. Well, okay, I can't say more interesting, more cohesive than Shunin. And I like the concept of like a guy fighting who's kind of, it seems like almost Drunken Master style, but he's sleepy. So I kind of like that. But yeah, I mean, the game's looking good so far.
Well, the art style, it's definitely, so you play King of Fighters 14, you notice that it's actually using the character, well, it's kind of using the character models of 14 in 15. So they were using assets, but they actually like completely changed how they look. I don't know if it's post-processing or whatever they did. They just it up and they created something that looks very similar to like an ink style, like kind of like Street Fighter V almost. So yeah, I'm actually very, very impressed because it looks very fluid when looking at, you know, the moves and looking at everybody interact. And this is like the first King of Hearts. I was about to say Kingdom Hearts. King of Fighters. This is actually the first King of Fighters that actually looks great in 3D. Like, it looks real, real good for their 3D efforts. So I'm definitely keeping an eye on this one. The art style got me all interested again. But I love me some King of Fighters. So, yeah, I just can't wait to see, you know, the other character trailers and see what's different in terms of the actual gameplay.
Yeah, I'll probably get it. I'm kind of curious to see kind of where they go from here.
Yeah.
It always feels like SNK is like the underdog and kind of like rooting for him a little bit. Even though there's some things I shouldn't root about them for. So, but anyway, that's a topic for a political podcast.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, so King of Fighters, keep on going. Like I said, new trailer every week for a character. There might be like 50-something characters.
It's looking to
50 or 40 something.
It's rumored. This is actually a rumor that it's rumored to have almost every character from 14, and then some. So we might see some brand new, you know, a lot more brand new characters than we currently have, because Shuin is you know just one, and he was featured in 14 already. So we might see, you know, a few more new characters. And like you mentioned, we're going to see a character almost every week. So it's going to be cool to see the reveals and see them in the different art style.
Yep, lots of fighting games to look Finally. Forward to this year.
I've been waiting.
Yes. Yeah, last year was pretty light. But yeah, let's go into the biggie, Resident Evil Village. AKA Resident Evil 8. Release date of May 7th, which surprised me, which shouldn't surprise me, because they've been releasing a Resident Evil game every year now for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was more surprised like this was coming out this year rather than like something else. But yeah, they showed off Resident Evil Village. Has lots of shades of Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, it's very Resident Evil 4-ish in terms of like, you know, just the presentation, that's one, and also the setting. It's just that you're playing it in first person. So I guess if this game was in third person, it would look a lot more like Resident Evil 4. Just based on the setting alone. But they did show off just some new footage during the Resident Evil 25th anniversary stream that they had. Resident Evil Village is releasing this year, like you mentioned. mention. So that's a plus, that it is releasing this year on May 7th. And it's going to be available for the PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and the Xbox Series consoles, and the PC. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing how similar it is to Resident Evil 4. That's what I can't shake off. Will I be playing it? Yes and no. So I actually downloaded the demo because in this stream that they had, they announced that you could play the demo on PS5. So I actually downloaded the demo. Yes, this was one of the other things I was playing during the time. But the demo is like its own experience. It's based on, you know, in the universe of Resident Evil Village.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually don't do any combat. And it's like a lot of just puzzles and figuring stuff out. And I was freaking impressed with how clean everything looked, how sharp everything looked. And finally, next-gen Resident Evil. Even though it was first person, it was still pretty dope. The sounds were freaking creepy on my Atmos system. Like, it was, like, creepy. And once I got to, like, the main hallway, I actually was too, like, afraid. Like I said, I'm gonna play Resident Evil, but I'm playing it at a slow pace. And I was like, okay, let me see what this thing is about. Let me get to the main, I guess, portion of the demo. And, you know, I was able to see all like the ray tracing effects, and the textures looking clean, everything looking so good, for it being a Resident Evil game and on next gen. And keep in mind, this demo is only available exclusively on the PS5 for now. They are releasing another demo, closer to actual release date. So that's something to check out for if you don't have a PS5. But yeah, I was like freaking impressed and scared. And once I got to the main floor and looked at everything and did, you know, collected a few things here and there, I actually stopped because I was like, I'm not playing this anymore. This shit is freaking me out. So it's gonna be the same thing. And I love Resident Evil 3. I love Resident Evil 4. Those who I love. There's something about Resident Evil 7 and Resident Evil Village 8 that it being in first person and the actual, like, I guess the first person thing is kind of like freaky for me. Like, VR, if this game is in VR, freaking intense. All I'm gonna say, I know 7 was in VR and that shit was intense, and I played. Yeah,
I don't think this is gonna be VR.
Yeah, so we'll see, because there's still actually a rumor going on that it may still actually be VR since the PS4 versions got announced. So we will see on that, but I won't be playing it. Like, I tap out. I tap out. I don't want any more Resident Evil VR. I don't tap out. I'm afraid. So yeah, I will be playing it, not at launch, but, you know, I will get it, probably play 15 minutes of it, probably quit, and then come back to it when I feel like being scared. That's like how it's going to go down. And I just gave you a timeline of all of that.
Yeah, like, because I still haven't played 7 yet. Like, I need to play 7.
Me neither.
I'll probably play it, like, right before 8 comes out. I'm just not a fan of the supernatural elements, I guess. The vampires and the werewolves and such.
Oh, yeah. There's a tall vampire lady.
But.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if you haven't seen
it. That, too.
Yeah, she's been kind of everywhere. Yeah. She does nothing for me, though.
I mean, me neither. Yeah,
I actually like her. Her lackeys, I guess.
Yeah, that's her. Better, her daughters, but... actually. Yeah.
Oh, her
they
daughters.
Actually showed that off.
You just called them.
Yeah,
lackeys.
They're lackeys.
That's so disrespectful.
No, that's, I don't know. That's actually, I don't know what the relationship
was. Yeah, that's actually
was.
Her daughters. It was shown there on the actual, like, the stream in general. They were like showing off a lot more of it. Going, like, deeper into these specific characters and the village. They didn't go too much into it. I guess they didn't want to spoil everything. But they did mention that her daughters from the big vampire lady, the tall vampire lady, her daughters are actually, they teleport and they actually are made of insects. And they could actually, like, yeah, they could actually, like, swarm you with insects and they show gameplay of that. That's right. So, yeah, again, I'll play it for 15 minutes and I'll probably quit. It's just too scary. Like, it's too much for me. It's too much. I can't do it.
That's so funny.
Like, I can't do it. So yeah, Resident Evil 8, yeah, I could say what they did with 7 and how they rebranded it. I feel like 8 is definitely going to be like the most polished version of this, you know, type, especially just with how everything is coming along with the game and you know, what they've shown off. So yeah, I'll keep an eye on it, but I probably won't play it at launch. That's for sure. That's me. But Capcom also announced in that same 25th anniversary stream, they did announce that we will get a new Resident Evil title. And this title is the multiplayer title that is included in Resident Evil Village. So when you buy Resident Evil Village, you get Resident Evil Reverse. And this is a 4-6 player deathmatch using iconic Resident Evil characters. And you could pit them in like pretty much iconic locations as well. Now, the one striking thing for me is that they're using a comic book sort of art style to it. And this is a free multiplayer game that you get when you buy Resident Evil Village. So I found it kind of interesting, but I'm to the point with Capcom with Resident Evil games. If it's not like Resident Evil Outbreak, then to me it's like crap. Or it should be, you know, or it should be Mercenaries Co-op. Because I feel like these multiplayer games that they do make, they are not fun at all. Like the ones where they're versus each other.
I don't know. Like, I just don't care about a Resident Evil multiplayer. Like, I know a lot of people like the Mercenaries mode stuff, but it's fine.
Well, the one
it's
in whatever. Resident Evil 3 was, you know, that was okay. Like, that was okay. I actually played it a bit. Yes, Resistance was okay. But there's not enough player base for Resident Evil Resistance to keep going. And that to me, like, bothers me. It should just be pure co-op. Like, pretty much survival. Like, Outbreak. That's how every Resident Evil multiplayer game should be like. That's what they should strive for.
I wanted, like, a redone / updated Outbreak. I think that would be fun. A co-op, I think, especially now in, like, modern times when, like, it's so much easier to do online. I think they need to, not necessarily remake it, but, like, something in that.
It's a missed opportunity, yeah. Especially when they keep, like, trying to create these multiplayer experiences that involve, like, a competitive, like, multiplayer mode.
Yeah, that's the one I played. Umbrella Corps.
Yeah, and that one died.
I played that at that died.
Yeah, as it came out like literally in the week.
I played that at Kamikaze 2016, maybe, or end of 2015. I don't know, one of those. Played that, and man, that game was rough on the show floor. And I don't think it did well, just because like it's. I don't know. It's like so hardly Resident Evil. I know it's supposed to be its own thing, but like it just wasn't. Who needs another like squad based tactical shooter?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and that's a trap that they keep falling into. I know they do mention that they made this multiplayer mode just for the fans, and you know you get to play with your favorite Resident Evil cast members. But how long could this actually be sustainable? If it's like a side project thing, it's certainly fine, but. I feel like it's not something to bolster about, especially the way it looked. It's interesting enough where like, okay, I'll give it a try, but I just don't expect any growth in the multiplayer. I feel like it's just going to die out. Like, you know, you play it one, you know, one time and then it's like, oh, okay. It's just not something that's going
to
stay.
Yeah, I mean, there's way too much competition for multiplayer games to just like hop in there and like think you're going to be somewhat successful.
Yeah, and it's definitely, to me, I see it definitely as a missed opportunity, especially when they have Outbreak. Like you mentioned, Rob, they could just remake that and, you know, make it more modern a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, and that would actually work out better because that's actually co-op, and I guess everybody gets the premise. You're surviving as, you know, Outbreak. It's easier to gauge, and it's more suited for Resident Evil instead of a competitive multiplayer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it would give. I mean, there's so many like survival type of games, but like it would be ultimately more interesting in terms of like getting more eyes on it. Because it's like, when was the last time, you know, you've had something that's like that, that's puzzle-based, you'd have to work with people in that kind of setting? I think that would work out really well.
Yeah.
It's just a simple thing. All right, and let's go ahead and go into the final news point of the day.
Yep.
And then quickly retract it at 11 p.m.
That's like how my post went.
Yep. So, Microsoft has increased the... Well, I guess, yeah, they had increased the price of Xbox Live Gold.
For a couple hours.
Yes. They doubled the price. Basically, they made 6 months $60 instead of the year. Allegedly to get people to subscribe to Game Pass Ultimate. And then later that night, they retracted it. And they're like, no, we're going to go back to the regular price. So, thankfully, they retracted it. But it was like, what, 11 p.m. on a Friday?
I don't know if it was that late. It was late.
Yeah, it was definitely. Yeah.
And I think it was
Friday. Yeah, it was definitely on Friday.
Like, I wrote about this post, so I had to keep doing the research on it. But I mean, their big issue was like raising the price during pandemic, usually not a good idea, you know? People aren't just flush with cash, just waiting to toss it down on a subscription they already have. And that's been that price for a very long time.
Also, it's pretty much double, you know, the biggest issue is that it's double than what it's worth. Like, it's not even worth that.
Well, I mean, worth is like, I guess, dependent on the person, you know, but the big issue is like their blog post on Xbox Wire, like, it's like, hey, we're raising the prices. Didn't say what was included. They did end up saying that they're not going to have to, you're not going to have Live Gold for free to play games, which is awesome because that was,
yes,
that made zero sense ever.
Yeah, that was dragged on for so long. And I don't, and yeah. It feels like this was put out so they could just throw that in there so it could look like they're good. Like, you know, they're throwing positive news because
they should have done that initially.
Exactly. Though, and that's the thing that's frustrating. The thing that's frustrating because it's like, okay, so you guys are just doing this now because of the bad PR, or are you guys doing this?
No, that had to be figured out. They couldn't figure that out in 5 hours.
It was definitely in the works, but yeah. It's like, when were you guys going to announce this? Like, you know, what's the idea behind doing all this chaos that you guys did just to pull back on it and then mention this just to get good PR? It's like, no, you guys literally were caught red-handed. Like, you know, caught. Like, there's no good thing that you did here. There's nothing good that you did. It should have been like this before.
I mean, them backtracking it was good, because if they didn't, then
the backtracking it was good, but I'm not gonna congratulate them for, you know, just for doing that. Their plan has always been to raise it. They even sent out the cards. Subscriptions in general, but they even sent out the cards to retailers. So it's kind of like it blew up in their face. And yes, subscriptions are supposed to raise over time, depending on the content. And so it could, you know, be reevaluated towards the economy in that sense. But there was nothing changing, like you mentioned. Nothing was new.
Yeah, that was a big issue. Nothing was
new. These cards were already out to retailers. It wasn't until, you know, a few people posted it on Reddit where it got wild, and then they had to announce it because of that. I'm guessing that's what made them announce it. But on top of that, they were putting up the price 100% over the cost. It's like, okay, like, you could raise it $1 or $2, yeah, but you're literally going to charge me another $60 for the rest of the 6 months?
For no additional benefit.
No additional benefit. So there,
like, it's just the same thing you have right now, just twice as expensive.
Yeah, I think if they were really interested in a price hike, a natural one, they should have just done an incremental price hike. Mm-hmm. Just like, okay, it's $60 for the year, but, you know, since we have to change it now, it'll be $70.
What they should have done, because if this was, if their whole point is to, I guess, make more people buy Game Pass, they just should have upped the price of Game Pass.
I don't even think that was their whole point, though.
Well, we don't know.
I don't know what their point was. But
there's just so much, like, so much.
It seems like
there
no
was,
point.
There was, well, the point was to be more greedy. Corporations are not your friends. That's one. That's.
Yeah, but still, like, they usually have they're greedy, but, like, they usually have a
yeah,
point.
You're definitely right. There usually has to be, like, a cost
that didn't
to
make.
Yeah, there definitely has to be a cost off.
It doesn't make
it's
sense.
It's a business. But in this case, if they felt like they needed to pretty much increase something just to offset Game Pass, because I think that's what was being done. They haven't gave us any information on that. If it was something to offset Game Pass, they should have just raised Game Pass. They can't keep playing face to the customers. It's actually, to me, it's actually the shit that Microsoft is doing is actually creating more issues in terms of, like, PR. It's just as bad as Cyberpunk shit, almost.
Someone said that it seems like Microsoft's whole goal this generation is to bookmark it. They have the most powerful system, and they have the least powerful system. They have the best value in gaming, and they have the worst value in gaming.
It is funny, though. I have to bring it up. All, like, the, like, insiders, quote-unquote, were talking about how Game Pass, or not Game Pass, how Gold was going away, and it was going to be free. Look how well that turned out.
Yeah, like, it's...
It was like the
exact opposite. And it's like, okay, so is Microsoft paying the, like, you know, it has me, things like this have me questioning how their PR works and how, like I said, the way their PR works is just to save face, and they actually do things in the background.
I mean, that's all PR in general.
I know that's all PR in general.
Yeah.
But the way this is playing off just to the gaming community, they're loving this. They love this PR face stuff, you know.
No, I mean, nothing good came of what they did, though. They didn't get, like, a huge boost of positiveness, and, you know, like, people were happy they reverted, but.
And that's a problem, and you know, that's the problem, because I felt like the onset, oh, okay, so games, you know, free-to-play games are now free-to-play without Gold. They just put that in there just to save kind of face. Like, in their mentality, putting that forward after that mistake would save them face, but it didn't do anything, like you mentioned.
I mean, it did to an extent. Like, that's the thing. I mean, there's some people who think, like, they did it on purpose and they knew they were going to pull it back for PR. Like, no, that's a terrible PR move.
No, I think legitimately, like, Microsoft tends to upset the balance a little bit too much, but without reading the room. Because they did the exact same shit with the Xbox One with, oh, you know, you have to check in every 24 hours or blah, 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 blah. You know, there's not going to be any used games. And then everyone's like, fuck you. And then originally they're like, no, this is how it's going to be. We can't change it. And then they're like, okay, we'll change it. Like, they want to, you know, rock the boat, be the bad boys. But it's like, they don't know how to read the room to make it work properly.
Which is weird, because they've been pretty good leading up to launch and stuff. Like, they just tried to ruin all their, like, goodwill they've earned. back.
It makes me think it's like someone like high up in like Microsoft or like the Xbox divisions, like, yeah, we're gonna make these changes, and you know, it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, someone that's not like necessarily in the know, but has the ability to make the changes. And that,
yeah, it's like whatever you say, Bill.
But that's also concerning too, because then that's an underlying problem just with
That's just another
That's
problem,
that's another underlying problem to us as gamers. Because again, we know their intention. We've always known their intention. No corporation is good, but now we know the full extent. What they can and can't do, and what people will and will not follow for that. They already showed all their cards there. And I expect a price hike for Game Pass next year, or either early next year or late this year.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to go up. I'm curious how much.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Curious how much. If they literally went, you know, $60 and they sent out cards for this, I can see the same thing happening with Game Pass, and it's not going to be pretty. So,
I mean, maybe it won't, though, because the reaction they saw.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Maybe they won't, but it's that something that they can't do. That's,
I mean, they could do whatever they want, you know. But I mean, it showed that people weren't going to go for it. Like, Game Pass is so optional compared to like Gold. Like, you kind of have to have internet with the console, whereas you don't have to have Game Pass to have one. So, like, I think they have to be way more, like, cognizant of what they're doing with Game Pass, because, like, it is super successful. I mean, you know, for them, driving hardware, whatever, through PC, whatever. But, like, if they do raise it too high, you can just drop it, you know? It's just a very supplemental thing versus how, like, Gold, like, you kind of have to have it.
Yeah, we'll see this year how it pans out, because I know Microsoft has their earning call coming up soon, so we'll see. We'll hear more about Game Pass then, to see how it is stacking up with users. So it's definitely interesting that this move came before their earning call. So it's coming before their earning call. So that's where I want to see, because again, great value, but there's always, again, corporations are corporations. These things all are numbered based, and they are able to see exactly what's not hitting the mark. And that's why I expect that the price hike will be coming this year. And late this year or early next year. It's definitely happening, especially after this whole debacle that just went on here. And yeah, that revert was... Yeah, it was just weird. It's just, yeah, this whole thing was weird and pretty fast. So I'm very interested to see more about how they're going to handle this throughout the years, because it didn't, again, like you said, it didn't put any good PR to them.
Yeah. I think they'll raise the price when the first like Bethesda game comes out on it.
That should,
which is one of the easier ways to at least have a reason to raise the price.
Well, at least the new Bethesda game, because I think they put like some legacy stuff. But yeah, I think definitely when they have something big to show, they're gonna do it like 2 or 3 months before the game releases.
Yeah, which like. You know, I could see an incremental update then, you know, over like, hey, we're raising this thing that everybody kind of has to have by, you know, double, and then we're not giving you anything new. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Is it like the whole value, like that's what makes Game Pass so good, the value. There's zero value for the user in raising Game Pass, or raising Gold. There's nothing, literally. Like, that their blog post was like, 3 paragraphs about what was being raised. That was it. Like, it was just such a strange Friday email,
yeah,
you know?
That whole thing was strange. It's definitely like a side eye from me. It's getting a side eye from me because, again, they had cards.
Like, who approved that?
They had fucking cards ready at, you know, retailers already. Like, why? Like, you know, This is all so sudden. They definitely, like...
Well, and, like, the thing that gets me is, like, the timing, even. We're in a pandemic. Nobody's making a lot of money, you know? And, like, it's not like they're in such dire straits where Microsoft, like, you know what, guys? We have to make double on these cards or we're going out of business. They're not in that situation, you know? So that's what makes it even more bizarre. Like, the whole... I'd love to, like, be a fly on the wall in those meetings of how, like, who brought it up and then how they're like, yeah, that's a good idea, you know?
Yeah, especially such, like, a huge amount. Like, again, yeah. It's one thing, like, okay, we're going to raise the price, like, $10,
not a couple bucks, yeah.
But, like, twice the amount is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, imagine Netflix is, like, $8 instead of going to, like, 9 or 10, they went to, like, we're going to 25.
It's exactly like, that. What?
Yeah. But, yeah. We'll see.
It's like, it's just that I feel like if they had not reversed it, it would have, like, backfired. I feel like it had to have.
I mean, they would have had to have reversed eventually.
Yeah. It backfired on them already, so it's, like, this is something to remember.
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder, like, what the percentage of people who'd be like, yeah, no thanks, I won't subscribe to Xbox Live and, like, play games on a different system or something.
Yeah, I mean, hard to tell, obviously, but I'm sure Sony was just hoping people were just, like, loving it because then they could raise PlayStation Plus prices. But that ain't happening.
No.
Once one person does it, it's always easier for the next and the next. And they always do it. Because then they take less PR flack.
One thing I do know about PS Plus is that it's actually been raised a few times over the years. That's one thing I do know.
Yeah, but it has been doubled in price.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
Just like the incremental,
That would have been crazy. And I feel like it could still go down. I feel like, just with the hands that were dealt, I feel like it could still go down and, again, Game Pass could raise like fucking $30 and it would still be okay. I want to see, I want to see those incremental updates. But also, like you said, when the meaningful stuff comes out, I want to see how they market it and how they do it. Because right now it's like, okay, you guys just ruined any good publicity you guys ever had. Just with this move, because now everybody sees your hand and what you were attempting.
Yep.
So, I'm just very interested in seeing this. And this is a new experience for Microsoft as well. This is a new service type that is, that does have a lot of subscribers at the moment. But there's nothing to put up against it at the moment. So it's that rivals it at the moment. PlayStation Now has been there, but PlayStation Now Sony has on the back burner. That's for sure. It's not a main drive.
It'll never be a main thing for them because how well their first party games sell. Like they have no reason to. They'd lose money doing that.
Well, I've always mentioned with PlayStation Now that they should do PlayStation Now and then do a virtual console, and use PlayStation Now for that.
Good luck.
It's in the back burner. It's not something that they are majorly marketing. It's there. Like, you're able to play games, it's there, but it's not something that they're marketing like Microsoft. So it's pretty interesting seeing how everything works out, just like with those two services. Yeah, we will see. And I guess this is it for the first podcast of 2021.
We have floodgates this year?
Yes,
no?
we're gonna close the floodgates. And so please go ahead and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you liked what you listened to, you could subscribe to us on Apple Music, on Google Play, on Spotify, on Pandora, iHeartRadio, everywhere major every major podcast directory we are on. So definitely subscribe to us there. You'll be able to catch our latest episodes. And yeah, thank you guys, the fans here for listening to us here in this new year. So yeah, we're closing the floodgates and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Catch you on the flip side.